This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. First of all, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sisters. It's always a pleasure to see your beautiful faces, especially when you're all smiling, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, bi'idhnillah, the topic I've chosen to speak about today is about as-sidq, which is about sincerity, about having sincerity. It's one of the most important manners that we need to have, because sometimes we focus a lot on our outward image, let's say, and we forget that the most important thing we need to be focusing on is fixing our hearts and rectifying the condition of our hearts. And, you know, a sidq is something, you know, it's you know, a sidq starts from the heart and it comes out in your words, it comes out in your actions, and it will have an impact on you know, on everything you do. So that's why it's very important that we focus on this characteristic. It's from our akhlaq to have a sidq. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Ala inna fil jasadi mudra, ida salahat صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهو القلب. Like there is in the heart, sorry, there is in the body a mudra, a clump of flesh, right? That if it is rectified and corrected, then all of the body will be corrected. And if it's corrupted, then all of the body will be corrupted. ألا وهي القلب. المهم, the most important thing is it's the heart. Okay, so we need to fix our hearts, and it's very important that we focus on rectifying the conditions of our heart, because I said what starts in the heart comes out in everything we do. Okay, so the other thing is too that, you know, as believers, our goal in life is to try our best to follow in the path of al-anbiya and the rusul. Right? Following in the path of the prophets and messengers. And following in the path of the siddiqeen. Okay? The very true and sincere believers. And if we look at the characteristics of all those who are from the Ahlul Jannah, the one characteristic they all have is as-sidq. The characteristic of as-sidq. The characteristic of this sincere truthfulness in their hearts. Okay? And you can see that if you study, like when you go to the Quran and you read the ayat of the Quran, you can feel the sidq. You can feel the sincerity. Like you think about the sincerity of Nuh in his dawah to Allah. You think about the sincerity of Ibrahim in his dawah to Allah and calling to Allah, you know, calling to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you think about the sincerity of Maryam alayhi salam in her faith, in her iman, in her unshakable iman to Allah. So this is, and go study about the Sahaba, their sincerity in sacrificing for the sake of Allah and sacrificing, you know, to defend the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was alive. So that, you know, this is the sincerity that we need to try to be adopting in our lives. So that's the one characteristic that they all had, this characteristic of a sidq. So that's why, inshallah, I want to speak about this topic today. So the word sidq comes from the word sadaqa, which means, like, you know, obviously it means sincerity, and it means the opposite of al-kadib, which means to lie, to have the, you know, someone who is upon lying and deception. So it's the opposite. You move away from that bad characteristic of lying and fraud and deception. Right? So what we aim towards in Islam is to make your words match what is in the heart, and to make your words upon also al-haq, upon the truth. That's what it means to be upon as-sidq, to make your words in accordance with what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, and to be sincere in that with your heart. And as you know, one of the conditions even of a shahada, when you take the shahada, when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, is you have the sidq in the heart as well, that you mean it from the heart. It's coming from the heart. Okay, so it's very important that our heart, what comes out on the tongue, matches what's in the heart. And that's why we need to correct this. We need to try to, you know, do like Mujahid and Naps, like we need to do, you know, striving against ourselves so that we make our, what we say in conformity with what's in our hearts. Okay? So now there's three levels of a sidq. So the first level is when a person is sadiq. Okay, so this is a truthful and honest person. And every Muslim should be trying to be like this, right? That you're truthful and honest in your dealings, you know, not ripping people off, not defrauding people, all right? Trying to get just, all you care about is getting money and you don't care about being honest and upright in your dealings. All right, then the second is when a person is sadduq. So this is when they're very sincere and trustworthy. Like people really turn to them because they see how sincere they are and they really trust that person. And then the highest level is a siddiq. Okay, so this is the highest level of a siddiq, and it is the level of the very sincere and upright people. And this is the level of, for example, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. That's why he's called as-Siddiq, because of how upright he was, how sincere he was in his faith. The moment the message of Tawheed came to him, he straight away accepted it. And that's got to do with the heart. His heart, mashallah, tabarakallah, is so pure that as soon as the truth comes to it, he straight away accepts it. His heart can recognize the truth straight away. And it's also the level of Maryam alayhi salam as well. Like Allah says in the Quran, wa ummuhu siddiqa, that his mother, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, was siddiqa. That she's that level of believers, that she's extremely sincere in her iman, extremely sincere in her faith in Allah azza wa jal. So, and some of the other characteristics of the person who has a siddiq, like a siddiq is the one who never lies. No matter what, they don't lie. Like, you know, some of the ulama, they were of such a level in their fear of Allah, they wouldn't even take an oath. Like they wouldn't even say wallahi even when they're truthful. That's from the level of their the level of their sincerity in their iman with Allah. Okay, even if they're going to lose in a court, they won't say wallahi even if they're going to lose, even if it's against them, because they just, that's the level of sincerity. So this is something that's really lacking, you know. As I said, too many of us, we've paid so much attention to the, you know, the external matters of our deen, and we forget to go back to, you know, the internal matters, which are the most important matters, because that's what Allah looks at, isn't it? Ultimately, what does Allah look at? He looks at our hearts. It's not the external matters. Of course, external matters do matter. I'm not saying they don't matter, because what's in the heart, if you're sincere, comes out in your actions. So if it's not coming out in the actions, means there's something not right in the heart actually. Okay? But like I said, if, where it all starts from is the heart. So we need to fix the heart in order to rectify our outward affairs. So this is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he praised the siddiqeen. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 69, so they will be with the ones who Allah blessed them, أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, from the prophets, والصديقين, the truthful and sincere believers, والشهداء, which is the martyrs, والصالحين, وحسن أولئك رفيقا, and that is the best of company to be in. This is the company we should all be aiming to be in, that company. So the meaning of a siddiqeen in this verse are the people who follow the messengers and prophets in their iman, in their path, in their sacrifice for Allah. This is the type of, you know, this is what we should be, this should be our goal in life. You know, following the path of the messengers and the prophets in their sincere iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. And the other thing we notice is that Allah Ta'ala mentioned as-siddiqeen, that this is a level that's even higher than the shuhada. So it's possible for a believer to reach a level even higher than the martyrs, depending on how sincere they were in their iman with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But as we know, over the course of our life, Allah is going to test us in our sincerity. Allah is going to test us in our sincerity over our lives. Okay, what does it mean to have this characteristic of a sidq? It means that the person doesn't say anything except that they train their tongue to be truthful and upright and honest. So you and believe me, the more you try to train yourself to be like this, the happier you'll become in your heart, because you are becoming authentic like that. Instead of trying to pretend to be someone that you're not, you be yourself. And the more you be yourself, the happier you'll become. Because you're not trying to pretend, you're not trying to put on a face and try to be somebody else. Okay, so the aim for you is to try to make your words in line with what's in your heart. Okay, and also another thing here too is to make your actions in line with your words. That's another important thing. You know, what does Allah Ta'ala say? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It's most hated to Allah that you say what you don't do. So when, you know, whatever you say, you try to uphold that in your actions. Why does the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have such a great effect on us when we think about his seerah? Because he was a man of words. He was a man of action, not just a man of words. Like, he walked the talk. So the more the person's actions are in line with their words, the more effective they will be in, for example, influencing and doing dawah to others. So it's very important, if you're thinking about getting into dawah, you try to make yourself in line with your words, because that's what people look at, subhanAllah. The greater the person is in, you know, in alignment with what they, you know, with what they say, the more that impact they're going to have. And the same thing, even inside your house, my dear sisters. You want to have an influence on your children? Have a look at how much you are acting upon the words you say to your children, because that's what speaks volumes more than what you say. So if you want to know how to bring up your children to be righteous, you have to look at yourself. How much are you implementing what you say to them? There's no use telling your children, pray on time, and they see you missing all your prayers. There's no use saying to your children, read Quran, memorize Quran, and they don't see you memorizing the Quran. They don't see you always reciting the Quran. So if you want your children to love the Quran, you want your children to love prayers, you want your children to love Islam, have a look at your own love of Islam. Have a look at your own love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your own love of the Quran. This is all what's going to be the greatest influence on your children's hearts. So this is what it means to have a sidq, to make your amal in line with your aqwal, in line with your words. Now, the best way to understand this characteristic of a sidq as well is to look at what's the opposite of a sidq, which is, may Allah protect us, the way of the munafiq, the way of the hypocrite. So what the munafiqeen do is they hide in their heart the opposite of what they say with their tongues. So may Allah protect us, they say, I believe in Allah, but in their heart, A'udhu Billah, they're the greatest enemies to Islam. And they're actually fighting Islam. A'udhu Billah, Shaitan Rajeem. So this is the true munafiq. But even there's a lesser form of nifaq, which even a Muslim can. This is a disease that can come in the heart. Okay, so nifaq is a disease of the heart. And what it basically means is, like I said, that the person is not in alignment with their words and with their actions. So they say on their tongue what they don't mean. Like they say, I'm happy for you, but in their heart, a'udhu billah, like they've got hasad. They've got great jealousy in their hearts. Or, you know, yani, do you understand? They pretend to be your friend, they're not your friend. They actually hate you, but they're trying to use you, may protect us, or something like that, may protect us from the bad friends. But what I'm trying to say to you is, like, that's a type of nifaq. So we have to, again, like, that, and anyway, the person who's upon that is never happy. You can never be happy like that. As long as you're not like true to yourself first, you'll never be truly happy in your heart. So you're gonna have some sort of burning in your heart, because there's always a bad consequence of diseases in the heart. So some people, they show they've got good intentions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but really it's not about good intentions. Really they're working for the dunya. They're not working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They pretend they're working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the reality is they've got some other aims. Maybe they want to expand their business. Maybe they want to get a reputation. They want to, you know, be able to sell their books. Whatever they're trying to do, and sometimes they use the deen. They use the deen to try to serve their dunya. I made a status about that yesterday, but that's unfortunately a common theme. May Allah protect us from it, where they use the deen to serve their dunya. In the meantime, what should we be doing? We should be using our dunya to serve the deen and not the opposite. So people, may Allah protect us, they hide, you know, what's the opposite, you know, they hide what's really, you know, the opposite, what they have in their hearts. And they show to people what's not the reality of what's in their hearts. So this is why if we want to have this characteristic of a sidq, we need to become aligned with what's in our heart, with what's on our tongue, and what's in our actions. That's how you get the alignment. So these are the three types of sidq we need to concentrate upon. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sidqu tuma'nina wal-kadhibu riba." So the sidq is what brings contentment and peace in the heart. The more you're in alignment with truthfulness, the more you feel at rest in your heart. You feel at peace because you know that you're not pretending. You say the truth and you mean it, and you're not trying to pretend to be something that you're not. So that's what I was saying before about getting back to your authentic self. You know, they talk about being in a, you know, getting to your authentic self is being yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to imitate others. Be yourself, you know, and be truthful to yourself. And the more you're truthful to yourself, you'll be able to be truthful for others. You don't care. Like, if you really care more about Allah than people, this will help you the most. Caring more about, you know, because, you know, you can hide from the people, but you can't hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you realize that, this helps you to become truthful. Because what's the use of pleasing everybody, pleasing the people, and Allah is not pleased with you? What's the use? So the more you're focused on having ikhlas for Allah and pleasing Allah, this will take you away from trying to pretend to be something else. Okay? So, like I said, so as-sidq is what causes tranquility and sakina in the heart. It causes, you know, peace in the heart. While the opposite, al-kadhib, it causes restlessness and doubts in the heart. So you won't be content. You won't feel at rest. Because it's been proven, you know, scientists have looked at people who lie. It's actually much harder for a person to lie than it is to tell the truth. That's why they have like a lie detector, and they can see that there's an anxiety that comes in the person, even if they're a very good liar. There's a certain amount of anxiety that comes into the body through lying. So lying's not even good for your health. Wallahi, it's not. SubhanAllah, that's the amazing thing. Look how Allah made everything haram something bad for you. Everything that Allah made haram is something bad for you. Not just in your spiritual, you know, your spiritual well-being, but even in your physical well-being. Like a person who lives their life on kadhib will not be a healthy person, even physically, because it has a physical effect. So you'll find them very stressed. You know, they have a lot of, you know, anxiety and worries, and subhanAllah, it's going to affect them. Okay, another thing that happens, the other thing that happens to the kadhibin is they end up getting exposed. Sooner or later, people find out about them. You know, they end up getting exposed sooner or later. So the lies get found out. The lies get found out. So this is the difference between truth and falsehood, that, you know, truthfulness brings peace to the heart, while al-kadhib brings the opposite. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sidqu manjah," like that. As-sidq is the path for safety and being rescued, and it's a way out. It is a way out. Even though you might think it's easier to tell a lie at that moment, you might think it's easier to tell the lie, but ultimately, by telling the truth, you'll get greater peace of mind. By telling the truth, you'll get greater peace of mind. So I want to talk a little bit about the rewards for as-sidq. What are the rewards for as-sidq? So first of all, having this characteristic of as-sidq is something that Allah Ta'ala He commanded the mu'mineen to have this characteristic. So he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah and be from the صادقين. Be from amongst the truthful. Secondly, from the characteristics of a sidq, it's one of the things, as I said before, that Allah Ta'ala has praised His messengers and prophets. Like if you look through the Quran, there's many, many times in the Quran where He praised a particular messenger or prophet due to this characteristic they had of a sidq. So we know that when we read the Quran, see a lot of people when they read the Quran, they read it just like it's just entertaining stories. But every single ayah has lessons that you need to be taking from that ayah. So that's why when you read the Quran, every ayah that you read, you need to be thinking about that ayah. What does Allah want to teach me from this ayah? So when you read the characteristics of the Anbiya and the Rusul, you need to be saying to yourself, when Allah praises certain, you know, praises them for certain characteristics, it means He wants you to adopt this characteristic too. This is the path of the Nabi, you know, and Nabiyin. This is the path of a Nabiyin, and we should be aiming to follow this path. This should be part of akhlaq that we should be trying to adopt. So, for example, if you look what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Maryam about Ismail, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. So, He says about Ismail, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقُ الْوَعْدِ, that he was very upright in his promises. Like if he promised to meet somebody at a certain time, on a certain day, he would make sure that he was there at that certain time and that certain day. And that's, see, we have to realize that's even part of sidq. When you promise someone something, it's from your akhlaq that you fulfill that promise. And you uphold that promise. And we should not be sloppy in our promises. Like if you promise to be at somewhere at a certain time, you should do your very best to be there at that certain time to meet that person. It's not right that we leave someone waiting for half an hour and 1 hour and we're late in our appointments. Or we promise to return something to someone on a certain day and then we don't turn up. You know, all of this is the opposite of a sidq. And it's not a good characteristic. So the more you're trying to uphold this and get away from that, the more you're getting yourself in alignment with what a sidq is. You understand? So you have to try to fix your character, rectify your character. Of course, sometimes things are out of our control. What do we do in that case? We ring the person, we apologize. I'm very sorry, I'm 5 minutes late. You know, that's what you should be doing. You have to respect that you made a commitment to meet someone at a certain time. Even when it comes to your appointments with an ultrasound or doctor, it's very bad akhlaq from us Muslims that the Australians turn up on time for their appointments and the Muslims are late. This is not from the akhlaq of Islam. Where did we get this akhlaq from? Okay, so you understand, sisters? So try to fix this because it's not from the akhlaq of Islam. Also, Allah Ta'ala mentions about Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. That verily he was the most truthful. He was the most truthful and of the, you know, from believers, and also he was a prophet of Allah. So he got praised for his truthfulness, his sincerity to Allah in his dawah, and you read the story of Ibrahim, you can see why he got praised for being so truthful and sincere in his faith. And also Maryam alayhi salam, you know, she had to stand against everybody. She had to risk her whole reputation to stand against those who are going to accuse her. Why? For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. See, and you understand? So that's what sometimes Allah is going to call you to do. Sometimes you're going to have to stand against the waves. You're going to have to stand against the tide. You're going to have to stand up and speak the truth, even if it's not popular. So that's where Allah is testing us in our iman. And even Allah is going to test you in your faith in al-qada'i wal-qadr. You say, raditu billahi rabban, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, But how much are we truthful in that when we get tested in al-qada'i wal-qadr? When Allah tests us in something He predestined, how truthful are we in these words when we say raditu billahi rabban? So Allah is going to be continually testing us all of our lives to see the sincerity. And that's why, you know, Allah Ta'ala, He says, you know, He says in the Quran, وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ, that verily Allah will know who are the truthful and He'll know who are the كاذبين, who are the ones who are not that sincere in their faith. So this is what Allah's, when you're going through all these things in your life, don't think it's not for a reason. There's a huge reason why you're going through all of these things. And part of it is to test the sincerity of your heart. And Allah purifies your heart through these trials. You don't realize how Allah is purifying your heart through these trials that you're going through. SubhanAllah, my dear sisters. So always keep that in your mind, because sometimes we've let other things come in the way. We've let the love of the dunya come in our hearts, and the love of the temporary things in this world, and we don't realize we need to purify our sincerity to make it only for Allah. We need to empty everything else out of our heart except for our love for Allah. That's what Allah wants us to do. He wants us to reach this level, inshallah. Okay, so this is some of the examples of a sidq. And that's why Allah wants us to achieve it. The third point is that having a sidq is, this characteristic of a sidq is the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward the mu'mineen when they enter Jannah. It's from this sidq. That's why you should be aiming towards it. Like Allah ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, قال الله هذا يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم. Allah ta'ala says, this is the day when the صادقين will be rewarded for صدقهم. Like they'll be rewarded for their truthfulness. So this is like the reward they get. You know, when you enter Al-Jannah, this is why you enter it, because of your truthfulness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لِيَجَزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ, that Allah Ta'ala will reward the Sadiqeen due to their sincerity. He rewards the Sadiqeen due to their sincerity of their faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in a hadith, I guarantee, you know, he said, guarantee to me six things and I'll guarantee to you a Jannah. So if you do these six things, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guarantees you a Jannah. So what are these six things, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, number one, be truthful when you speak. So when you speak, say the truth. Be truthful when you speak, and when you speak, say the truth and say the haq. And number two, fulfill your promises if you make a promise. Okay? And number three, fulfill your trusts if you're entrusted with something. So as women, what are we entrusted with? We're entrusted with our children to bring them up on the straight path. We're entrusted with our households to take the best care we can of our households. We're entrusted with the amanat, like our husbands might trust us with something. The secrets our husband has, you know, that's also about fulfilling your trusts. Okay, so all of these things we're entrusted with, we're going to be asked about this by Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have to try our best to be sincere in fulfilling our trusts that Allah has placed under as part of our responsibilities. Okay, anything else that Allah has placed in our responsibility, we have to be sincere as much as we can in fulfilling these responsibilities. And then number four, guarding the private parts. And number five, lowering your gaze. And number six is restraining the hands and not harming anyone. Not harming anybody through yourself, like whether through your tongue or even through your hands. If you don't go harming other Muslims, that's not part of your akhlaq. So if you're able to do that, if you're able to live this life peacefully in this way, not harming, not causing anybody harm, yani inshallah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you enter Jannah with no problems. So this is what we have to be focusing on. And then number four, the fourth point from the rewards of a sidq, is that having a sidq is something that leads a person to more good deeds, and it leads you to al-birr. Like, the more you try to get yourself in alignment and rectify your character with being a truthful person, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open up the doors of al-birr to you, to, you know, righteous deeds and the path of righteousness. And this is something that's recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna sidqa yahdi ila al-birr." That verily a sidq leads to al-birr. It leads to righteousness. Wa inna al-birra yahdi ila al-jannah. And verily righteousness leads to al-jannah. Wa inna rajula la yasduqa hatta yaktuba 'indallahi siddiqa. That verily a person keeps on being truthful until they are written as being amongst the truthful. So that's the thing. The more you practice truthfulness for the sake of Allah, Allah will make you truthful. So it's a matter of you taking the steps towards being truthful. You try to correct your tongue for the sake of Allah. You try to correct your speech, your actions for the sake of Allah. You try to correct your heart for the sake of Allah. Like if you feel that you're not being truthful, you say astaghfirullah, you ask Allah to straighten your heart. It's not easy. Sometimes our heart goes that way. We have to straighten our hearts and bring our hearts back on track. Okay? No one's perfect. Sometimes we get waswasa. Sometimes you're going to get a feeling of jealousy come in your heart. You have to be aware of it. You have to rectify yourself and straighten your heart back in line where it should be. Okay? So this is the thing. The more you strive for the sake of Allah to make yourself truthful, Allah will make you truthful until you're written with Allah as the truthful. And you will stay in that path, inshallah, until you meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the opposite is also true. وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يَكْتُبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. That verily lying leads to al-fujur. So when a person makes themselves, they take it easy, they think they can get away with it. You know, they fear the people more than they fear Allah, and they start to make that their life, where they're just constantly lying and deceiving and thinking they're going to get away with it. It leads to al-fujur. It leads to other evil actions. And that's why, unfortunately, you get some people, may Allah protect us, where they start to do a lot of major sins behind closed doors because they got so used to not fearing Allah in their actions that they begin to do a lot of major sins behind, you know, when no one sees, right? Because they got used to this way that they have of being deceptive and not being truthful. Wa inna al-fujura yahdi ila an-nar. Verily, the evil actions, they lead to the fire. Wa inna rajula la yakdhibu hatta yaktuba 'inda Allahi kadhaba. And so a person can go on lying and living this life of deception until, may Allah protect us, they're written with Allah as a kadhaba, and they can't even get out of it. It's possible that a person can become so corrupted upon lying and upon evil that they can't even get back out of that. Alright, so this is a'udhu billah, you know. You understand? So this is the danger of lying. You have to realize that it's, you might say, just one lie here and one lie there, but then you start to do it all the time, you get used to it, until it might lead to more and more and more major things. That's what you've got to worry about. So that's why even the small lies, you have to say astaghfirullah, correct yourself, and, you know, and move away from that type of akhlaq. Now, the other thing about a sidq, the other from the rewards of a sidq in this life as well, before the next, is that a sidq brings the rescue of Allah and a way out from hard times. If we look at the story, you think about all the stories that Allah has given us, even the story of Aisha, radiallahu anha, when she went through that huge trial of al-ifk, you know, when she was falsely slandered. But what was it that saved her is her sibq in Allah. She knew in her heart that Allah will rescue her, and she only spoke the truth. And she didn't try to say something to try to get out of it or anything like that. She put her trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's, you have to have that sidq in your heart with Allah through your trials, that Allah is going to find a way out for you. And at the same time, you don't resort to al-kadhib to try to get out of those hard situations. So even if you look at Maryam, like I said before too, when she was, you know, at risk of being slandered in her chastity, and the very thing that she prided herself on, of her chastity and her innocence and purity, was going to be put to trial when she had to, you know, approach the people with her baby, Isa alayhi salam. And what is it that saved the three men in the cave? What is it that saved the three men in the cave? You know the story, there's three men who were in the cave, and the cave door, like a stone came and shut over the front of the cave, so they couldn't get out. And subhanAllah, so they said to each other, nothing is going to save us except as-sidq, the sincere deeds we've done for Allah. Okay, that's what's going to save you in your hard times. In your hard times, it's your sincerity that you have with Allah in the times of ease that helps you in your times of hardship. Like the Prophet said, ta'arraf ila Allah fil riha ya'rifuka fi shiddah. Like when you know Allah in your times of ease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you in your times of shiddah, in your times of hardship. So what happened is, one of them, the first one said, Ya Allah, so this is how you can, this is the proper tawassul to Allah. This is the tawassul, people talk about tawassul. If you want to get your dua answered, the correct tawassul, from the correct methods of a tawassul, is anything, okay, correct tawassul to Allah to get your dua answered is only what's mentioned in the Quran and authentic sunnah. Okay, we shouldn't make tawassul to Allah through innovated means. So from the correct ways of making a tawassul is to mention to Allah, of course Allah knows best, a righteous deed that you did sincerely with all of your heart for the sake of Allah, when no one was watching, especially. So for example, the first one says, Ya Allah, one day I went out and I used to always get the milk for my mother and father. Like he had such sincerity in looking after his parents. He had such sincerity in his birr al-walidayn, right? In his looking after his parents for the sake of Allah. And so he used to, every single day, he would go out and he would get the milk for his parents, like he'd milk his his goats or whatever he had, and he would bring it back to his parents and always, you know, put his parents first, you know, giving them the milk, even before his own family, subhanAllah. And then what happened was, one day he came back and he found his parents had fallen asleep, because maybe they're very old and they'd fallen asleep. And so he said, I stood there waiting for them. I didn't want to wake them up because, he's caring about his parents so much. He doesn't want to wake them up. And so he waited till, you know, they slept. He stood there waiting at their side for the sake of Allah until they woke up. He said, even my children were crying, subhanAllah, but he stood there until his parents woke up, and he gave his parents the drink of milk first, because that was a deed that he just made, that he always wants to do that for the sake of Allah. His small deed that no one knows. Like, see, it's sometimes you might have done a lot of great deeds, but sometimes it's that very small deed that no one knows about, that's the thing that's going to save you in a crisis when you mention that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So he said, Ya Allah, if you knew that I did that sincerely for your sake, not seeking anything except your pleasure, then help us in this, you know, help us out of this case. And so the rock moved a little bit. Then the next one, He said, "Ya Allah, I was so infatuated with my girl cousin." Like, he wasn't married and he loved his girl cousin. Like, he, you know, he's a young man and he's got that shahwa. He's got that strong desires. And his cousin was so beautiful. And he's so in love with her, he wants to commit zina with her. Like, he's honest. He wanted to make a major sin, but his desires were very overwhelming. And so he asked her a few times, like he even tried to do something, you know? And she always had refused. But then one time his cousin was in such financial distress, a very bad financial state. So he told her, if you do that with me, what I've been asking you from you, I'll give you this money. And so she said, okay. Because she was so desperate. She said, all right, you know, she was so desperate. But then, so he gave her the money. And then they met up and he was about to, imagine that's the hardest, imagine how hard. You know, he's in the middle of everything. He's just about to go ahead and with this haram. Until she said, fear Allah and do not break the seal. Fear Allah and do not break the seal. And when she said those words, something shook in his heart. And he went out of it. Like, it's very, you know, as we know, for a man, that would be a huge test. Like, all the time, he's only imagined this thing. And then right at the moment when he had the chance, because of his fear of Allah, he left it for the sake of Allah. And so that's why he said, Ya Allah, if you know I was sincere in that moment, then help us in this situation. And so then again, the rock moved. Okay? And then the last one was an employer. You know, he's got plenty of money and he had laborers that used to work for him. And, you know, one of the people who used to work for him, he had wages and the laborer didn't come and collect his wages. Now, what do most business people do today? They don't come to get their wages. Alhamdulillah, he didn't come again. I'll keep him now, you know, for myself, you know. If he comes back, I'm going to tell him, no, I don't owe you anything. So what did this man do? He was so sincere, he didn't just let that money sit there. He went and he invested it for him. So he went and bought animals, you know, he went and bought camels and he went and bought, you know, sheep and he went and bought, you know, and so he bought all these animals that have offspring. So one day that man came back and the employer told him, oh, by the way, you forgot to take your wages. And then he goes, here's your wages. And it's just like this, all these, you know, like we can't appreciate it now, but because we don't care about camels and cows and sheep. But in those days, that's wealth. Like, that's mashallah, look at this wealth. You know, he goes, that's not my wealth. He goes, yes, you know, I invested that for the sake of Allah and I grew your wealth for you. And now that's all your wealth. So that's why the man then said, Ya Allah, if you knew that I did that for your sake, then help us in this situation, you know, like, free us from this cave. And so subhanAllah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely moved the stone. So what I'm trying to show you is, like, that's a story that happened, but that's the same thing for your life. You know, when you're going through a hard time and you're making dua to Allah, remember that if you were sincere with Allah in your times of ease, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you in your times of hardship. And it's allowed for you to mention a deed. Ya Allah, if you knew, you know my sincerity in believing in you. Ya Allah, you know my love for your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can mention, as part of your tawassul to Allah, you can mention a good deed that you've done for the sake of Allah, out of showing your poorness to Allah, that, not that Allah owes you something for what you've done, okay? But just to show to Allah your poorness, your sincerity to Allah, and how much you have iman in Allah. That's what it means to do tawassul with these things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So we have to realize, like I said before, that when we understand that telling the truth, living a life of a sidq, this is the way to be saved and rescued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though it might seem easier, like I said before, to tell lies, but what we need to understand, that in the long run, the way to get true safety is the true path of safety is by following the truth, being truthful and standing up for the truth, even when it might seem easier to tell lies, because lies end up catching up with you. May it protect us from it. Okay? Then the sixth point is that from the virtues that the people of Sidq, from the virtues that come to the people of Sidq is the true dreams. The true dreams. The more you are truthful in your speech, the more you try to adopt truthfulness in your actions and make it a principle for your life, the more your dreams will come true. The more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to show you true dreams. And when you do have dreams, they're going to come true. The truthful dream. The ru'yat as-sadiqah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the ones who have the most true dreams from you are the ones who are most truthful in their speech. So the more a person is truthful in their speech, the more that they will be blessed with having true dreams. But what happens when people who are not sincere and they tell a lot of lies, may Allah protect us, those people, often you'll find they have a lot of nightmares and they have a lot of dreams that disturb them. And what is the reason? Because shaitan comes and plays with them. Because they've left the taqwa of Allah. Like when you leave the taqwa of Allah, when you leave fearing Allah and you go to the path of fujur, you go to the path of corruption, then you open the gates for shaitan to come and play with you. And so shaitan can come and play with you. Part of the way that the shaitan can play with you is in your dreams. Now, of course, that's not for everybody. I want to mention, we mentioned dreams a few weeks ago. You might have nightmares for other reasons. Like you might be a very honest person, but you have nightmares because maybe something disturbing happened to you as a child, for example. And so that keeps coming to your dreams. That's got nothing to do with you not being truthful. It might be something disturbing. It might be a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of things that happen to you in your life that, you know, subhanAllah, you're tested with that. So I just want to mention that as well, because we have to always give disclaimers on everything we say in case people get depressed. I don't want anyone to ever walk away from my lesson feeling depressed, okay? And if anybody ever does, please let me know so I can, you know, fix it so that I can be more aware of something, inshallah, okay? Okay, so I want to finish this lesson on a sidq, you know, by reminding all of us that we need to really try our best to stay far away from the opposite of a sidq, because Allah has warned about, you know, He warned about being amongst the liars. Like, for example, He says, وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Woe to the mukaddibin, woe to the al-mukaddibin on yawm al-qiyamah, those who are not from the sincere. And of course, what the mukaddibin we're talking about here are the disbelievers, not the believers. But they are, you know, they have the characteristic of lying because they haven't believed in Allah. They've lied because they have turned away from Allah and rejected the truth of believing in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what are the signs of the munafiqeen that we have to be aware of? So we have to be aware of these bad traits, because the more that a person allows himself to adopt these bad traits, the more they start to bring corruption into the heart. And if a person is not careful, a heart can become completely corrupted. So it's not, we shouldn't take these characteristics of munafiqeen lightly. So just to understand something, when we talk about these characteristics of munafiqeen, we're not talking about disbelievers here. We're talking about believers who can have these bad traits. They can have some of these bad traits, all right? And they can be of different levels, but if we're not careful, it can lead to nifaq. It can lead to true nifaq if we're not getting rid of these more minor actions of nifaq. Okay, so the first of the signs of the hypocrites is when they speak, they lie. So, as I said, you've got to align your speech. You've got to align your speech. You've got to train your tongue to, you know, straighten up your tongue. Straighten up your tongue and speak truthfully. Right? And then the second thing, when they make a promise, they break it. When they make a promise, they break it. So stay true to your promises. And then the third thing, when they're trusted, they betray that trust. Like someone gave you something to look after and you don't look after that trust. And in another narration, when they argue, they become wicked. So, you know, for example, when they argue, you suddenly see that a whole different side. Like, you know, swear words come out, abuse, like, I was a bit loud. Like, that's not good characteristics. So, you know, someone acts so nice outside the home, as we know the old story goes, but inside the house, it's a whole different story. May Allah protect us from nifaq. That's a type of nifaq. It's a type of hypocrisy to act so beautiful in front of everybody else, but inside the house, you're a whole different story. Okay, so we should be trying to be in alignment with our true self. Yeah, so if we look at the first thing the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the munafiqeen is that when they speak, they lie. So that's why we need to be careful about falling into this sin of lying. Don't take it lightly. It's not something small to start following that path of lying, because it leads to nifaq. It leads to nifaq in the heart. And the more that you start to implement not doing that, the more you'll see truthfulness also grow in the heart. You'll see that feeling of sincerity. Like, the more you try to uphold being truthful, the more you feel, you know, you can feel it in your heart, sincerity starts to grow in the heart. So that's what we're trying to aim towards. The problem is with people who lie too much, this is a sad thing that happens. They get so used to lying, they no longer know if they're lying or they're no longer, honestly, it can happen to some people that they get so used to lying, they don't even know if they're lying or telling the truth anymore, because they got so used to lying. Like, you know, you've all heard, I'm sure, of those people who are, like, you can get those, what are they called? Psychopaths. And they can be such good liars. And they actually lie, and they actually don't even realize they're lying anymore, because alhamdulillah, like, it's a sickness. It's actually a sickness. Okay, so may Allah protect us and save us from that. Okay, let's talk about the different aspects of our lives that we need to try to focus on in order to be from the Siddiqeen, inshallah. Or at least from being, adopting this characteristic of a Siddiq. So number one, like we have said, we need to train our tongues to speak as truthfully as possible, even being ambiguous, even actually exaggerating. We should avoid exaggerating. If you really want to know the proper manners as a believer, not even to exaggerate. We should try to avoid doing this, okay? So to speak really in conformity with the truth. And the only time to speak ambiguously when there's a real reason to protect yourself. So there is something in Islam called at-tawriya, but even with that, you should try to speak truthfully as much as possible. So an example of that was when Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he, like, the tyrant king was going to harm his wife, he said, "She's my sister." So why did he say this? He's because meaning my sister in Islam. This is an example of at-tawriya, where you say a word which is truthful, but it has a different meaning to the person listening. So this can be permissible in Islam as long as there's a real reason where you're going to be harmed. And there are some times where it's allowed to also be ambiguous. Like, for example, in the state of war, we need to protect from the enemy, or even the husband and wife, when they're trying to improve their relationship. Like, it's allowed, for example, to say to your husband, "Oh, you look so beautiful when you wear that," even though you might not really think that they are, but, like, you know, you just, like, he says, "Oh, how do I look?" He says, "Oh, mashallah, you look like, you know, a full moon to me." You know what I mean? So there's nothing wrong with exaggerating. There's nothing wrong with exaggerating in a, you know, when it's not really truthful, that he doesn't exactly look like a full moon, but to stroke the ego and, you know, make him feel good about himself. There's nothing wrong with doing that because there's a greater purpose. There's a greater maslaha, which is to create more love in your husband's heart. Okay? So it's allowed, you know, for the husband and wife to say things which, you know, to improve the relationship. That some people unfortunately took it in an evil way. So they say, "It's alright to lie to my wife, you know, I can just..." No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you can just go lie to your wife and Auzubillah, go behind her back and be treacherous. As some brothers took this hadith, Auzubillah. It doesn't mean that. That's not the meaning of the hadith. Okay, so that's a twisted mentality that tries to use the hadiths to support doing twisted acts. Islam does not support twisted actions. Okay? So what is the meaning of the hadith? To bring about a greater maslaha, so that the love is increased between the husband and wife. So he says to her, "You're as beautiful as the day I married you." Of course she's not as beautiful as the day that you married her. I mean, she's got a face full of wrinkles and she's like 20 kilos or 30 kilos more than she was. But, you know, alhamdulillah, you understand? So it's about creating the love, saying words to create love. And even when there's a problem between two sisters in Islam, they're having a fight and you say, you know what, she only says the good about you. I know that deep down she really likes you. You know, things like that. So you might say things which are not exactly true, but why are you saying it? Because you want to bring the relationship back together and you get rewarded for that. So that those are situations which allow to twist the truth, so to speak, to bring about a greater maslaha. But for other action, for other reasons, no, it's not allowed to tell lies. It's not allowed to tell lies. So we need to be honest with ourselves about what's allowed to tell lies about. Alright? Then the second thing is, when you make dua to Allah, or you recite the Quran, you read the ayat of the Quran, you know, like, and you're saying, you know, وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, for example, and I turn all of my affairs to Allah. But yet, when you look at your heart, you find your heart is turning away to dunya. Okay? So that means you're not, you know, if your heart is busy in dunya while you're reciting those words, then you're not having sidq. Even when you say al-Fatiha, and you stand before Allah and you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and you're praising Allah Azza wa Jal, and you're saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, all praise be to you, but your heart is thinking about your children, or thinking about your cooking, or what you're going to do after this, or, you know, I want to buy that. Yani, that means you haven't got sidq in your heart. You're not really adopting sidq, because what you're saying with your words, you're not really thanking and praising Allah with your heart in the way that you're trying to say with your tongue. See, so we need to try to align our hearts. So that's what can actually help you, sisters. When you read the Quran or you say dua, you try to make your heart in alignment with what you're saying. Even after your prayer, you're saying subhanallah, subhanallah. If your heart is not in alignment with what you're saying, then that's a lack of sidq as well. Because you're saying subhanallah, glory be to Allah, but you're not even thinking about it. You're not even thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the more you try to get your heart in alignment with what your tongue is saying, the more this grows sidq in the heart. All right, sisters? That's one thing. Then another thing is being truthful in your niyyah, in your deeds. Being truthful in your intentions behind your deeds. And this also connects to having al-ikhlas. So when you begin to think about people, okay, when you start to think about doing things for people, doing things for others, like riyah, you know, showing off, this contaminates your sidq. This is contaminating your deeds, and it's going away from having a sidq. Okay, it's going away from having sidq in your niyyah, from having sincerity in your niyyah. And the more contaminated that your deed becomes, the more contaminated your deeds become, right? Seeking dunya, like, you're not really doing it for the sake of Allah, you're seeking dunya out of it, you're seeking your reputation, you're doing it for riyah, for example. The more you go away from a sidq, the more that you go away from sincerity. And that's why, who are the three people who will be called to account on Yom Qiyamah because of their lack of sidq? The scholar, the one who used to recite the Quran, the one who used to give sadaqah, and the mujahid. And each one says, you know, for example, the alim and the one who used to recite the Quran, he says, you know, I sought knowledge for your sake, Ya Allah, and I did it for your sake, and I used to recite the Quran for your sake, Ya Allah. What does Allah say? Kadhabt. You're lying. You didn't do that for that reason. You only did that so people would praise you and say that he's knowledgeable and that, you know, he's a beautiful reciter of the Quran, for example. Okay, and so that is a cause for him to enter the fire. And then, the Mujahid, who are, he says, you know, I went and I fought for your sake, Ya Allah. And then Allah says, Kadabt, you lied, because you're lying, because you only did that so people would praise you and say, what a hero, what a brave Muslim, we know what a great Mujahid, you know, and praise you. And so again, that's a cause for him to enter the fire. And then the one who used to give sadaqah, he says, you know, I used to give sadaqah for your sake, Ya Allah. I used to give money for your sake to please you. I spent my wealth to please you, Ya Allah. He says, Kadabt, you only did that so people would say that you're generous. And you're just doing that to, you know, like showing off and just showing you're generous. So we have to realize that, you know, don't let the lack of sincerity come into your deeds, because it corrupts your deeds. May Allah subhanahu help us to have ikhlas in all of our aqwali wal a'mal, in all of our deeds and actions, inshallah. Then a fourth one is to be truthful in your vows and promises. So even vows, even though it's disliked to make vows, like, and what I mean by that is to put a conditional vow. Conditional vows are not, either they're not allowed or they're makruh, at least. But that's where someone says, Ya Allah, if you help me get pregnant, I will spend $1,000 in sadaqah. So if you said that, that's a righteous vow. Okay? That's a righteous vow that you have to fulfill it. You have to fulfill it. And a lot of people get themselves into trouble with this, and you shouldn't do these vows. The Prophet ﷺ said that it is only the stingy person, it's just a way of Allah taking something from the stingy person. Because in other words, what they're saying is, if you don't make me pregnant, I won't give that sadaqah. So why don't you just give that sadaqah? Why don't you just give that sadaqah for the sake of Allah? And make dua, Ya Allah, I'm giving you sadaqah for your sake, so help me to get pregnant. Why don't you do it that way? Rather than to make it a condition on Allah that if He does this for you, you'll do that for Him. Because that's what you're basically doing. But if you did do a vow like that, you have to fulfill it. So you have to fulfill your vows. Alright, so fulfilling vows, if you make a vow to Allah, you have to fulfill it. Unless it's, of course, a vow of disobedience or something like that. Alright? Besides that, promises as well. You promise someone, and that's where too, promising children. When you promise children something, if you want your children to grow up trusting you and feeling close to you, you need to fulfill your promises to them. And if you can't fulfill your promise for one reason or another, you need to apologize and tell them, I'm really sorry, I know I promised that to you, but unfortunately this has happened now and I won't be able to do that, okay? But if you don't grow up, if you don't bring up your children fulfilling your promises, they grow up to not trust you. And actually it distances, they distance themselves between you and them, because they don't, everything you say, they know that it never happens. So they don't have hope that whatever you say, they don't believe in you anymore. Okay, so it's very bad to tell people, like to tell your children in particular, you're going to do something for them and you don't come through with it. Another thing is truthful in your, like, to have truthful and sincere, be sincere in your ambitions for Allah. Be sincere in your ambitions and in your goals for the sake of Allah. Like Allah Ta'ala, He tells us in the Quran about, like if you think about the Sahaba, how truthful they were in their goals, how truthful they were in their ambitions. And that's why Allah praised them and said, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. From men are those who were sincere in their promises to Allah. Like what they promised in their hearts, their sincerity, in their ambitions, in their goals, then they fulfilled those conditions, they fulfilled those ambitions and those goals for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is how to be from the Siddiqeen. Okay? And like I said before, Allah's going to test you in your Siddiq. Allah's going to test you in your Siddiq throughout your life. How truthful are you to La ilaha illallah? You said these words of La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. How truthful are you in living up to these words until you die? Allah's going to test you. And when you say, Raditu billahi rabban, wa bil islami deenan, wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nabiyan wa rasulan, how truthful are you in being pleased with Allah as your Lord and being pleased with Islam as your religion and being pleased with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your prophet and messenger. Allah's going to test you all throughout your life in this until you die. Okay? And then, lastly, like I was saying earlier, and that is, you need to make your outer state the same as your inner state. So that's what you should be aiming. And that's talking about, when I say that, I mean, make your outer state outside the house like your inner state inside the house. So the way you are outside, you try to make yourself like that inside. So you're not a whole different person inside the house. You should be as beautiful as you are to sisters outside. That's how beautiful you should be with your husband. That's how beautiful you should be trying to be with your children and with your relatives. Okay? So that's the way we should be trying to be. And the same with when we're talking about the outer state of our external practice of Islam, we should try to make our internal state of our heart the same. So no use wearing all this beautiful abaya and all this, you know, and our inner state, we're not rectifying, we're not striving to, you know, correct our inner state. All right? So it's not just about the image of being a practicing Muslim. We need to be striving to make ourselves, to have true istislam to Allah, true surrendering to Allah in our hearts, you know, and focus on our ibadah of the heart, focus on our worship of Allah in the actions of our heart. Okay, that's what we should be trying to do, inshallah. So that it should be equal. Like the level I show outwardly is what's from inside. And anyway, what you'll find, my dear sisters, is those people who are not in alignment, they can't last. Okay, when they are, like, may Allah protect us from that. The people who are not really in alignment, like they try to act like they're something they're not, they can't last. And that's where you see the reality comes out eventually. They eventually, because you can't stay, you know, like who can continue to practice Islam when they don't really, you know, they don't really believe in it. Like they can't, you know, do you understand? You can't. So that's where the state comes out. So if they're trying to pretend for a gain, like maybe take us, some people get paid to Muslim, to spy on Muslims or something like that. They can't last in that state. So sooner or later, they're going to have to leave it. They can't, yani, may protect us from anifaq. That's the true munafiqeen, may protect us. And keep us safe from them, because they are the greatest harms. They are the greatest harm to our ummah. So we leave it there, my dearest sisters. But, you know, I ask Allah to purify our hearts from al-kadib and from anifaq, from lying and from hypocrisy and all of the diseases of the heart. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our hearts with a sidq, with truthfulness, with sincerity for His sake. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to give us ikhlas in all of our words, in all of our actions, and to, you know, help us to live a life of sidq. To live a life of sidq. You know, trying to implement what we say in our actions and trying to make our hearts in alignment with what we say, with our words. I ask Allah Ta'ala to raise us amongst the Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Salihin, wa Hasuna Ula'ika Rafiqa, wa Sallallahu wa Sallam wa Barik ala Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala Alihi wa Sahbihi Ajma'een, wa Qulu Qawli Hada, wa Astaghfirullahu li wa Lakum, wa Subhanaka Allahumma wa Bihamdik, نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.